Now, at some point in history, a human, or probably group of humans, came up with the idea that a particular piece of land was theirs. So why did they do that? Stuart Eldon is the author of The Birth of Territory, and he's on the line. Good afternoon, Stuart.
Hello, Sean.
One might, I suppose, assume that the idea of territory is as old as politics. Is that the case?
I don't think it's as simple as that. I think that if you look back to various times in recorded history, you can see different kinds of relations that people and groups of people had to the land, the places that they were living in, and their relation to their neighbours. And the argument I try and make in the book is some of those are what we now describe by the notion of territory, but there are other ways that people have thought about these things, and that territory emerges as a particular way of organising these things rather than as the continual way of organising them.
But say in ancient Greece, for instance,
okay,
would it have people have thought in terms of territories? Or well, I suppose because it was easy in a way because there were so many different islands and you'd just be the resident of a particular island or city.
Right, so there was the question of the remoteness of different political groupings from each other. So if you look at Athens or Sparta or Thebes or the various different Greek city-states as they're usually described, and what you'd have with those often is you'd have an urban kind of centre, the agricultural lands that would extend for a certain distance beyond the city walls perhaps or the urban centre, and then there might be a great deal of nothing before they came across the next human settlement. And so there wasn't that same kind of intensity and proximity, scarcity of resources that changes over time as populations grow, as cities increase in size and so on.
So the land didn't seem to be as scarce, and therefore territory wasn't as important.
I think so. And I think if you look at the text of ancient Greece, if you read people like Plato's works on politics or Aristotle's work on politics, there isn't that same kind of problem about proximity that you find in later organizations. And what I found interesting and important is the words they use to describe these kinds of relations are different to the words we use today, and that territory doesn't seem to me to adequately translate some of those notions that they're thinking about.
So was it not until the Middle Ages in Europe that this becomes important?
I think so. I mean, I think there's a number of instances where you can look at conflict over land, of empires expanding, such as the Roman Empire, for example, or different empires coming from the east into Western Europe and the challenges that these create. But the notion of territory is the, in a sense, the resolution to these questions does emerge, I think, in the late Middle Ages, out of a set of disputes between the Pope and secular rulers. The kings of France, for example, and the Pope have a number of disputes about who is it who has jurisdiction in this area. And that it's out of those kinds of debates that I think something recognisably modern in the sense of territory comes.
And you mean that in the sense that the kings of France were trying to establish some power for themselves, whereas the Pope's power seemed to be, if you like, supranational, that they said,
right,
well, you're in charge of, you know, you're the big boss, but we're in charge of this patch.
That's basically the way that they start to argue it, and so that you would find people writing on behalf of the French king who will say, the king is the emperor in his kingdom. In other words, the king has the supreme power within some kind of demarcated, separated out space, the kingdom of France. And the Pope may have the sort of overarching power, but on these particular matters, the king has that sort of supremacy, or what we come to call sovereignty, at a later point. And it would be questions of things like, if a priest in France committed a crime, who had jurisdiction over him? Was it the Pope, or was it the king of France? Or was the king able to tax the clergy within France? So these kinds of questions of location become quite important in political understandings of rule at this time.
And then by turn, did that mean borders became important and where those borders were?
Right, and that you get a development of borders and border practices. And you can look back to ancient times. I mean, in cities, ancient cities often had walls around them, or ancient cities had divisions in terms of voting rights or something like that. The Roman Empire obviously built fortifications in the north of England, Hadrian's Wall, or it built fortifications on the Rhine River in modern-day Germany. So borders have been important at different times, but the notion of a boundary as we understand it today, as a line that separates out two states, both of which have sovereignty within their territory, that's actually quite a recent invention of a boundary in that sense of the term.
And obviously they're notoriously very tricky to work out. Did technology help in the sense of map making became right. more sophisticated.
I mean, if you look at maps from the Middle Ages, they look very different to the kinds of maps that we're used to today. And through the sort of 15th, 16th, 17th century, developments in geometry, developments in land surveying enable different kinds of cartographic practices of drawing accurate maps. And it's interesting that it's actually a lot of states, a lot of kings and so on, who are the people that pay the cartographers to go out and survey and accurately portray their kingdoms, because it's a useful tool of power. It enables them to understand what they've got and to be able to control and fortify that better.
So in the sense that, are we at a place now where all these things are completely rigid?
Well, no. There have been attempts from really the beginning of the 20th century to try to fix the boundaries. Initially, this was within Western Europe. So the Locarno Treaty in the mid-1920s was an attempt to say, okay, the boundaries within Western Europe after the peace settlement, after the First World War, let's try and keep the boundary between particularly France and Germany as fixed. And that with the United Nations Charter after the Second World War, there was an attempt to try to almost sort of fix in concrete the boundaries between states to try to prevent the kinds of wars that often erupt over boundaries. But even if you look at Western Europe over the last 20 or 30 years since the end of the Cold War, there have been boundary changes. United Kingdom and Spain are still disputing Gibraltar. And certainly if you go outside of Europe into Latin America, into the continent of Africa and so on, there's a number of border disputes, a number of new states emerging like South Sudan, like Kosovo. So these kinds of questions are continuing today. But there has been an attempt, I think, over the last 100 years or so to try to fix boundaries where they are and to try to get rid of these kinds of problems.
Though it seems those borders are really for political expediency, because even in Europe, along most borders, you'll find people from both cultures on both sides of the border. It's kind of there's a zone in between countries where people are mixed up together.
Right, and but often those are work in quite productive ways. There are things like economic cooperation across borders, or people just simply going shopping on the other side of the border if they're able to move freely between those. Obviously, since September 11th, 2001, certain borders across the world have become more securitized. Fences have gone up, more security has been put on both sides, and that's actually prevented some of that movement across borders. But sometimes the question, I mean, any question around migration, is it that people are in the wrong place or is it that the borders are in the wrong place? And certainly if you look at the continent of Africa, there's a number of instances where some of those boundaries and where they were drawn by colonial division create a number of the issues that we have today.
Yes, indeed. Straight lines. Stuart, thanks very much for talking with us today. That's Stuart Eldon. He's the author of The Birth of Territory.